This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in wa ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and all his companions, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all every form of goodness, to grant us forgiveness during these beautiful eves of the month of Ramadan, and to grant us all the best use of the remaining hours of the month of Ramadan. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us the fasts that we have engaged in, as well as the standing in salah, as well as the recitation of the Qur'an, as well as the listening of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiply our reward. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters and dearest listeners, this evening's verses, mashallah, we completed Surah Hamim al-Sajda. And thereafter we went into a surah known as Surah al-Shura, named after the consultation. And this consultation is extremely important as Muslimin. Whenever there are major decisions to be made, especially concerning the general masses of the Muslimin, it's important to consult. The leader has the decision to make. Obviously, the leader has the final decision, but if he consults, he can hear the different opinions. His decision does not have to be based on the majority, nor does it have to be based on what anybody said. He could have a totally different opinion that he will execute. For as long as he has heard the rest of the opinion seriously and sincerely, and for as long as he feels that he has taken cognizance of all the different opinions. And this is the element of shura in the sharia. It is different from democracy, where the shura, the amir or the leader or the one who is at the top, he makes the decision. That decision is not based on the majority. And this is what we should learn when it comes to Islam. Because at times it may be based on minority, and at times it may be based on what none of the people have said. For as long as he has considered absolutely everything, and for as long as he has heard it sincerely, that is what is of essence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us true leadership in this ummah. The Quran also says that if we were to follow majority all the time, they would lead us completely astray from the deen. Today, if you look at the globe, if you were to have a vote as to what is the right religion, the majority will not tell you Islam. So if majority had to rule, then we would all be outvoted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a deeper understanding of Islam and of the sharia. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how there will be signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make clear as time passes in the horizons and within ourselves, that will make it certain that this Quran is the truth. And what this means is, there are verses in the Quran connected to how we were created, connected to science, connected to various discoveries. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as time passes, these signs will be confirmed. This is why you find, whenever there is a contradiction between science and the Quran, Quran will remain as it is. Science will continue changing and changing, and they will experiment again and apologize for previous findings and come up with new findings and continue coming up with new findings until they streamline with what the Quran has said, and that's where it stops. Like there was a time when they said the sun does not move at all. There was a time when they said that. And the Quran speaks about the movement of the sun. And later on, some decades after, science said, no, the sun does move, but very little. The Quran didn't speak about how much it moves, but it spoke about the fact that it moves. This is just one simple example. Like that, there are many examples of how man is created and so on. Allah says, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ. We will continue showing them signs in the horizons and signs within themselves until it is proven to them beyond any doubt whatsoever that the message of the Quran and the Quran is indeed the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand the gift we have, the fact that we are Muslimin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really make us from those who can read the book and understand it and put it into practice. For indeed, it is the miracle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura makes mention of how important it is that we seek the life or we build the life after death. Many times we happen to build this life where we invest so much in order to receive returns that will take us for the next few years. And as I always give an example, when it comes to education, mashallah, extremely important. But we concentrate on secular education, which we are not saying is bad, to the degree that we sometimes compromise our religious education. That is where we go wrong. We should not compromise the religious education. Another important point is, we need to ask ourselves, how much time have I spent studying secular education, which is not going to take me beyond the age of 60 or 65, to word it more correctly, beyond the last breath? And how much time have I spent to study that which will take me from now up to no end, infinity? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. In fact, at the point of death, that's when everything would begin, and that's when we would be reaping the fruits. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to strike the correct balance. Because by right, if we were to look, we go to school, mashallah, early morning, or to universities, or wherever it is, or to our workplaces. We work for hours on end. Let's put an estimate at about between 5 and 8 hours a day we work. For what? For the next few years. That's it. It's not going to take us beyond our last breath. How much have we spent a day for the everlasting life? Surely, if we were to spend an hour or 2 hours, it's too little, but it's something. Sometimes we pass weeks on end and we have not even spent 5 minutes for the life after death. And we've spent hours on end for this particular dunya, which we may never ever see the fruits of. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can take us away right here and right now. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on us. So Allah says,
مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِدْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ.
Whoever would like the produce or the crop of the akhirah, the essence, or whoever would like to see the profit of the akhirah by seeking it and making an effort towards it, they will reap it, they will see it. And whoever wants that of the dunya, then Allah says, we will provide them the provisions of the dunya, and in the akhirah, they won't have a share. This is why sometimes you find there are disbelievers who might be good people. They give lots of charity. They are truthful. Sometimes they don't drink. Sometimes they help one another. Sometimes they sacrifice lots of time and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that He does not oppress them. He gives them in return for their good deeds in this life, because they do not expect that life after death. He gives them good health sometimes. He gives them very obedient children. He gives them lots of wealth. He gives them the temporary contentment that they are requiring in the dunya. Then when they come in the akhirah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform them that, look, we did not oppress you. Whatever you did and every sacrifice you made, we gave you its recompense in full, subhanallah. The coupons that you had are used. Now you are coming here with a coupon that's already torn. You will not be able to get anything. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who get the goodness of the dunya as well as that of the akhirah. Allah says,
وَمَن كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ.
The one who wants only this world will get its provisions, and in the akhirah, they will have nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those, as we said, who get the goodness of both, because that is a true Muslim and a true mu'min, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives fi dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah. He gives goodness in this dunya and goodness in the akhirah as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He accepts repentance. We've mentioned this many times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated it
after every few verses, almost every surah in the Quran, the invite to seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. So if we are to pick up the surahs of the Quran, we will most probably come across verses where Allah is inviting us to seek forgiveness. Imagine, the one who is the giver of goodness, and the ultimate goodness is forgiveness. If Allah forgives us, what more do we want? Subhanallah. So the ultimate goodness is forgiveness. Allah, who is the owner of forgiveness, is inviting us to come towards that forgiveness. Where are we? Do we answer the call? It brings me to a hadith, Qudsi, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a third of the night is remaining, that is the time of tahajjud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out, هَلْ مِنْ تَائِبٍ فَأَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive them? هَلْ مِنْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Anyone repenting that I can accept that repentance of theirs? هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ فَأُعْطِيَهُ. Anyone asking anything they want so I can give them? Mostly, we are sleeping. And sometimes in Ramadan, we are busy eating and gobbling our food before the time becomes expired or before the time is up. We need to realize, even as we are eating our suhoor in Ramadan, that is the time Allah is calling out. Whilst you're putting a morsel in your mouth, answer Allah. Tell Him, Ya Allah, I am the one who's seeking forgiveness, forgive me. Ya Allah, I am the one asking You, I have this need, that need. Ya Allah, I have certain needs that I don't even know I have. You know better than me. Do you know sometimes we have sickness in our bodies that we don't know about? And only later on they are discovered. We make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, cure us of those sicknesses which we don't even know about. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us cure. And may He never make us oblivious of the gift of good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really improve our health. And this is why another hadith says, seize the opportunity of your good health before it is overtaken by sickness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not overtake our health by sickness. And may He make us from those whom, even if it were to be overtaken, we would not regret how we used our good health. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us use it in a correct manner. May He grant all those who are ill shifa. May He grant them cure. He is the owner of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says thereafter that it is very possible for Allah. It is possible for Allah to make everyone rich and to give everyone everything. But what would happen if every one of us were multi-billionaires? Then, do you know another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, very beautifully worded, he says that people, they go out to earn sustenance, and they sometimes feel, if I have so much, it will be enough. When they reach that target, the target suddenly shifts. And it shifts and it goes greater and greater. Nothing satisfies them until they have so much that they don't need. It's no longer about going out to get the wealth. It's now about competing with one another for that wealth. So now, once you've become a millionaire, you now ask yourself, how many millions? And that one's got 20 million, I've got 15, I need to beat him. Then when we get to 25 and 30 and nobody can touch us, it then goes beyond the issue of wealth to the issue of control. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is why wealth is a gift, but at the same time it's a very big test. A very big test. Because sometimes wealth makes us want to control everybody. And if that's the case, we have flopped. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us humble. And may He make us from those whom the more we get, the closer to the ground we become. And the more humble we are, the more we greet people, the less arrogant we are. Because thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, had we given everybody everything, if we had just opened the doors of goodness, people would have rebelled on earth, and then there would be lots and lots of transgression. As I said, imagine if everybody were millionaires, today there would be lots of killing on earth, because people would want to prove that I have this and that power, and I can fix you, and I can do this and do that. So Allah says, divine reasons He only sends down in due proportion. وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ. Had Allah spread out the wealth on earth, everyone would have rebelled, or those on earth would have rebelled. So therefore Allah sends down in due measure. Subhanallah. A little at a time. a little at a time. Imagine my sustenance and yours, how many million rands or thousands or billions of rands or dollars or what have you is going to be spent by me up to the point of death is already written. It's written. If Allah wanted, He could give me one time and say, right, that's yours. What would happen then? But Allah says, He gives it to us slowly but surely. Mostly we raise our hands, Ya Allah, give us pure sustenance. What if we had billions already? What would happen to that dua? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us constantly raise our hands and call out to Him. May He purify the sustenance He grants us, and may He make us from those who can appreciate, and may He grant us sustenance that will be full of blessings. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is He who sends the rainfall as well. He decides where it will go.
وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَطُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ.
It is Allah who sends the rainfall after people have lost hope. When people lose hope, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes hold back the rain? There are many reasons. Sometimes it's for punishment, sometimes it's a test, sometimes so that we understand that Allah is in charge, Allah is in control, so that we can raise our hands and call out to Him, Ya Allah, we need rainfall, so that we can repent from our sins, because one of the reasons Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds back the rainfall is when people are committing deeds of immorality. And this is why it's important that we turn back. These are opportunities that Allah gives us to turn back to Him. This is why He tests us in life, so that we can turn. And so many places, even in the verses we read tonight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He places difficulty in our lives so that we call out to Him. Subhanallah. Then when we call out to Him and He grants us, sometimes we forget that we've even called out to Him. Those verses were repeated this evening as well. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really the ability to be appreciative. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of the fact that the akhirah is better. Once again, He says,
فَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
You should know that which you have been given, no matter how much it is, these are just provisions that will last whilst you are in the dunya. They are just provisions that are not going to take you far beyond. And this is why we've mentioned in the past, and the Quran also speaks about it. When you have wealth, if you've spent it, your name is written next to it. This wealth was spent by so and so. When you have held it back, you die, it belongs to someone else. So the only wealth that is yours truly in the eyes of Allah is that which you've already spent. And this is why the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the Quranic verse, tells us that when you spend in the path of Allah, when you spend in charity, that will be multiplied, that is yours, that is an investment, you will see a handsome result, you will see an income that is so great for that charity that you've given, but what you've held back, your name won't be written next to it. It will be going to someone else, and they will spend it possibly and probably, as is the norm nowadays. May Allah protect us. Lots of wealth, huge problems after the death of the person who leaves it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our offspring from amongst those who can resolve their matters amicably. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us really. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors. The issue of inheritance is extremely important. It is one of the most important aspects of the whole Sharia, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains every detail in the Quran. Now there is something very interesting, the verse that I read just now, where Allah says, whatever you've been given is mata'u al-hayati dunya. They are provisions whilst you are alive in the dunya. Then Allah says, وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That which is with Allah is better and it is everlasting. Look at the difference. The one is not everlasting. It will last, mashallah. We ask Allah to grant us that amount of comfort in this dunya that will make us worship Him. Ameen. And that will make it easy for us to worship Him. Ameen. But Allah says that which is with Him is better and it is everlasting. Abqa. Everlasting. For who?
لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ.
For those who believe and those who lay their trust in Allah. Now who are those who believe? And who are those who lay their trust in Allah? And who will have the provisions that are everlasting? There's a beautiful description after that.
وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ
Those who stay away from major sin and from immorality.
وَإِذَا مَا غَضِبُوهُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ
Whenever they are angry, they are quick to forgive. They control their anger, control their temper. That is a sign of a true mu'min. When a person is very angry, before he utters any words, he controls himself. He sits down, he calms down, because in anger, shaitan might make us utter words that we will regret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And may He make us from those who protect our tongues when we are angry. Some of the ulama, when people go to them and say, we have a great temper, they train the people to say, the minute you get angry, firstly you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. If you are standing, you should sit down. If you are sitting, lie down a little while. And possibly drink a little bit of water. And hold the water in your mouth. Wallahi, that helps 100% of the time. Hold the water in your mouth until your temper goes. What's the idea? You won't be able to talk with water in your mouth. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at how beautiful it is. No talaq will be issued. You are very hot, but there's water in your mouth. No talaq issued. So you don't have to quickly run to the ulama and say, what happened? This is what happened. I was angry and I did this and did that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, really. So the issue of drinking water is in the sunnah. The issue of holding the water is not in the sunnah, but some of the ulama have trained some of the people to do this, and we found that it works. Because the idea is to hold the tongue. That's what it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to control our anger and temper. Allah says, those who can control themselves when they are angry, for them is that everlasting life of the akhirah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ
Those who answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and established their salah correctly. It's important if we want the everlasting life, we should establish our salah. Salah, if it is fulfilled properly on time, believe me, within the space of about 30 to 40 days, we will start seeing results in our lives. For as long as we make a promise to Allah, I'm not going to miss a single salah from this day. Now we start fulfilling salah, you find when we make dua, we become VIPs. It's a fact. Because if we answer Allah's call every time the caller calls out, Hayya alal falah, come to success. And we run immediately to success. When we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will come to us even quicker. Because the hadith says, Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwala. Allah is saying, whoever comes to me walking, I come to him rushing. Whoever comes to me a handspan, I come to him a whole foot. No matter what speed we go to Allah, He comes to us quicker than that. The other day we mentioned the hadith, get close to Allah at times of ease, at times of difficulty, Allah will rush in your direction. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. So this is why Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ Those who answer Allah's call. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ And they establish their salah. Imagine salah has such a beautiful call. Do you know the hadith says, أَطْوَلُ النَّاسِ أَعْنَاقًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُؤَذِّنُونَ According to one narration, those who will have the longest necks. What does that mean? They will be the most conspicuous on the day of Qiyamah. Those who used to call out the adhan, the muadhins. Why? When a muadhin calls the adhan, anyone who came to the masjid as a result, the reward of the full salah of everybody who attended goes to the muadhin. Subhanallah. He is the caller in the right direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ النَّاسُ مَا فِي النِّدَاءِ وَالصَّفِّ الْأَوَّلِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَجِدُوا إِلَّا أَن يَسْتَهِمُوا عَلَيْهِ لَاسْتَهَمُوا If people had to know the reward there is in calling out adhan and in standing in the first saf, if they had to draw lots in order to select who should be there, they would do that. Subhanallah. Which means they would battle to do that if they knew the reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to respect those who call out the adhan. Sometimes we take them for granted. Ah, that man, who is he? He's a muadhin. Allahu Akbar. The Mu'adhin is the one of the most conspicuous on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to describe those people who will get that everlasting abode.
وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ
He says, their issue is discussed after mutual consultation. It is confirmed, or the decision is made after consultation. And I've already touched on this at the beginning of this talk. It's important for all of us. We should consult those who are close to us. Remember, consultation, we need two qualities when we consult a person. You don't just consult anyone. You need a person who is genuine and who is qualified to consult. Qualified in the field. Which means if someone really does not like your guts and they are highly qualified and you go to them and you say, look, I've got this problem. What is the issue? I need to consult. I'm a Muslim. They will intentionally give you wrong advice. So you have failed. And if you have someone who really loves you, but they know nothing about what you are asking them about, they will also give you the wrong advice. So this is why you need a person who is genuine towards you, and you need another one, or you need another quality in the same person, and that is they need to know or have the experience in the field you are questioning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, really. It's very important to listen to the views when you are embarking on something important in life. It's very important to listen to the views of those around you. It's a sign of a good Muslim. And thereafter, the decision is obviously made by the one who is the decider there, the one who is consulting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about another quality.
وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْبَغْيُ هُمْ يَنْتَصِرُونَ
This quality will make us think for a moment. Allah says, those... And who is he mentioning here? He's mentioning those who are going to have the everlasting life of the Akhirah. Those whom when they are attacked, they seek revenge. Subhanallah. Why is Allah saying this? Subhanallah. Did we hear what Allah is just saying? He says, those whom when they are oppressed, they seek revenge. Allah is praising them. He says, you have the right. Here Allah is telling us we should not oppress. We do not start the wars. In Islam we never started any war. We only sought revenge, subhanallah. Or we defended ourselves. That's it. The same applies in our lives. We should not be the oppressor. But when someone oppresses you, Allah is telling you, you have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to retaliate, subhanallah. And in my personal life and in your personal lives, when people do something against you, Allah is telling you, you have the right. You have the right to clarify yourself and you have the right to retaliate or to revenge. That's correct. Then Allah says after that,
فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ
However, and this is what is of beauty, however, whoever is going to forgive and reconcile, their reward will be with Allah. Both in the dunya as well as in the akhirah. What is meant by this? Sometimes in life, people do wrong to us and we want our rights. So we say, right, what's the right? What's my right? I need to know my rights. I want to this and that. Sometimes in the fight for rights, we lose sleep, we lose this, we lose that. Our lives become messed and we have no contentment, nothing at all. And nobody's ever going to stand up for the right that we are owed and so on. And even if we want to stand up and fight like everybody encourages us to stand up for your rights and fight and so on, your life becomes a misery in the sense that you are fighting every day, all day. It might be your right, but that will become a quality. Allah says, if you want to go one step higher, though it is your right to retaliate, it is better for you to forgive and reconcile. It will be much easier for you. Subhanallah. Much easier for you. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to forgive. And he used to forgive those who disrespected him to a degree that nobody today can. They threw, na'udhu billah, the dirtiest of defecation on him. Astaghfirullah. May Allah protect us all. And yet he forgave them. There was a lady in Makkah who used to throw all the dirt on him. And every time he passed the gully, she used to throw the dirt on him. And one day, it didn't come. It didn't come. And when she used to throw it, he used to go clean his clothing and so on. And he carried on. He ignored it. One day it didn't come. So he turned back. And he knocked at the door, and the lady called from the end, and he went in and says, "Oh my dear mother, this is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pass here every day and you throw this little gift in my direction. Today didn't come. Are you okay? Is everything fine? Are you sick? Can I do something for you?" She accepted Islam, subhanallah. She was speechless, completely gone. She declared the shahada. Look at the quality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That forgiveness, what did it result in? It resulted in the guidance of someone. It resulted in the guidance of someone. So sometimes we don't fight fire with fire, but rather with water. However, there was a time when it became too much, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the messenger that now it's enough. Now you don't forgive them. Prepare an army. Go and fight. Allahu Akbar. So we should know that both are sunnah. When someone says forgive, forgive, you forgive is also sunnah. And if you want to stand up, that is also a sunnah. Nobody must say, look, forgive until you die. Just keep on forgiving. Because sometimes people will take that as a green light to oppress. Imagine if someone knows that I forgive everybody who wrongs me. My car will go, my watch will go, my clothing will go, everything will go, my phone will go. And they say, ah, never mind, forgive. You know, have a big heart. Come, come. Have a big heart. Don't worry. We'll remain street kids. Allah protect us all. And on top of that, people will come. Young boys will enjoy the little stick and they'll be whacking my head and so on. And everybody else. And they say, no, that man, he'll forgive you. Don't worry. Allahu Akbar. There is a story I mention almost every year of, and I'm going to repeat it. The story of three great saints who were in a masjid, sitting in i'tikaf. They were sitting, and there was one man who was told that, look, these are three great saints. There's one who is still young, the other one is even a greater saint, and the other one on the far end is the greatest saint. They concentrate in their acts of worship to the degree that they won't even notice you. They won't notice you. So this man says, a young boy, you know, he was one of those who wanted to test these scholars or these saints. He walked in and he tried the first one. He greeted him, "Assalamu alaikum," and that this man didn't hear. And he was busy with his adhkar, whatever he was doing, he was busy with it. So this young boy thought to himself, he says, no, this man is a saint. He is very busy, he didn't even notice I'm here. He walked around him a little bit, he walked around him, the man didn't even flinch, nothing. And he says, he's a saint. So he went to the next one. I was told this one is a bigger saint. So what he did, "Assalamu alaikum," he walked around him and he gave him one clap. Imagine, a clap. The saint was still sitting. A split moment later, he looked up and says, "Are you okay? How's your hand? Did you get hurt?" The saint is asking the man, "How's your hand? Did you get hurt?" The man is saying, "Hey, this is a saint for sure. This is a saint. He's asking me if my hand is okay." Okay. The man says, "No, don't worry. Everything is okay." So it confirmed to him that this man is a saint. So he went up to the third saint. And he went up to the third saint and he was very happy. He says, "Now I wonder what's going to happen here. He'll probably take out some cash and give it to me." One wonders. So he came up and he gave this man one slap on the face. The man got up and gave him two slaps. So this man says, "But I thought you were the biggest saint." He said, "Well, someone needs to stop you." Allahu Akbar. So this is something we learn, that when people misinterpret our forgiveness of them as a weakness, that is when you stand up. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all goodness, really. It is something we need to ponder over. And we need to strike the correct balance between forgiveness and standing up for our own rights. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us. I know there must be so many sisters listening to us this evening saying, "Yes, our husbands do this and do that and we've got this right and that right." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors for them. And I am calling on all the husbands seated here, let us revisit the link we have with our spouses. In the sense, let us try and effect positive change in our relation. Let us try and understand they are somebody's daughters as well. They have come under our guardianship. Wallahi, we owe them a lot. And the same applies to the women folk. A call. Let us revisit the link we have with our husbands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant prosperity in the Muslim homes. We make that dua today. Remember, to solve a problem, give and take. We need to give and take. We need to compromise. We cannot be very heavy and hard. Otherwise, the relation will snap. We need to understand there is a give and take on both sides. And this is something that really we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom to do and to give us the acceptance also to effect within our own relations, in our own homes, whether it's with our parents or relatives or children, spouses and so on. May Allah open the doors of the Muslimin. Many people are complaining of homes that are full of turmoil and turbulence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts. Remember, we can be strict on ourselves. But we cannot impose that strictness on others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to be strict on ourselves and to become better people. Sometimes it's only the way we talk. Sometimes we don't utter words that will put a smile on others' faces and so on. And that is what causes the problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter also makes mention of some other qualities of these people who are the people who will have the akhirah, the people who will have that everlasting life. Allah says, those who forgive, those who can forgive others, even though they have the right to retaliate, as we said. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how He is the one who blesses people with children. And He decides what type of offspring every single person will or will not have. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ For Allah is the ownership of absolutely everything in the skies and on earth. يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ He creates whatever He wants to create. Nobody asks Him, nobody can question Him. يَهَبُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا He grants whomsoever He wishes only female children. There is a narration which says if you have female children and look after them, two or three, look after them and get them married into good homes and so on, Allah will grant you Jannah, the parents' Jannah as a result. What is the reason? There are many reasons. One of them is, you have brought up an amana, knowing this is not mine. I am preparing this young girl for somebody else. And you see her leaving the home. Allah says, we'll reward you for that patience. And we'll reward you for what you've done. Unlike some cultures, they require a payment for what they did. They say, look, I sent this daughter to school. I did this, I did that. Now I need so much before you take her away. In Islam, that's not the case. There is no bride price. We get that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says, وَيَهَبُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ Whomsoever He wishes, He only grants them male offspring, no female. أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا Some, He may grant them male and female. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا And some, whomsoever He wishes, He keeps them without offspring. Their Jannah is in accepting the fact that Allah's divine decree is that they will not have children. The minute they surrender to it and they are happy with it, as a result, Allah will give them paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those who do not have offspring, offspring. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those who do not have offspring and will not get offspring because of the decree of Allah, may He grant them that surrendering and happiness with the decree of Allah, and as a result, may He drive them into Jannah through the green route without any reckoning. Ameen. Remember, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who don't have children would know exactly what I'm saying. It is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People may say things, people may utter words, we may feel this way, that way. Remember, it all depends on how we handle it and how we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look after us. When we surrender to the decree of Allah, everything becomes easy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result, gives us Jannah. So it's important we know this. The reason we say this is because we find ingratitude with all sections of life. Those who don't have children sometimes complain. That is understandable. But those who've got males only, they complain, Ya Allah, we don't have females. Those who have females only, they complain, Ya Allah, we don't have males. Those who have male and female complain, Ya Allah, our children are unruly, Ya Allah. So who is there who's going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Those who do that will have Jannah in return. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all paradise. Then the next surah is Surah Az-Zukhruf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention there again of so many beautiful verses. I'd like to mention one or two. Az-Zukhruf, referring to the adornments of this world, so much gold and silver and jewelry and the powerful and so on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about how the kuffar of Quraysh, the disbelievers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to scorn at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to despise him, saying, you are a pauper, you are a person orphaned, you had absolutely nothing, your father had passed away before you were even born. Where today are you coming to us to tell us what to do? Allahu Akbar. Good news to those who are orphans. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be in Jannah together with the one who looks after the orphan, what do you think, or where do you think the orphan will be? Allahu Akbar. That's a question. If the hadith is saying to look after the orphan, you're going to be resurrected with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where do you think the orphan child is going to be? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allahu Akbar. Another very important point regarding orphans. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of creation, He chose an orphan. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to give the Quran to someone in revelation, He chose an orphan. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to elevate someone above all other creatures, He chose an orphan. Subhanallah. This is a direct inspiration for all those who might think that to be an orphan, we have less chances in life. The reality is you have more. Allahu Akbar. If only you understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who can at least put our hands over the heads of an orphan, because that too is an act of worship in a loving manner. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all our widows and orphans, and may He grant them all goodness, and may He open their doors also, all their doors of goodness. Ameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of what the kuffar told this man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ.
They said, why didn't Allah reveal this Qur'an to a powerful man from one of these two cities? رَجُلٌ عَظِيمٌ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ. Why didn't Allah reveal this book to a powerful man from one of these two cities, either Makkah or Ta'if, one of the people we knew? Why did Allah decide to choose someone who was an orphan child? And Allah says,
أَهُمْ يَقُسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ.
Are they the ones who distribute the mercy of their Rabb? They don't do that. We give it. What is the rahmah of Allah? Here Allah is referring to the Quran as rahmah, which means when Allah has given anyone the knowledge of the deen, it's the mercy of Allah given to that person. Allahu Akbar. If you sacrifice to learn Islam and to learn your religion, you are sacrificing to earn the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls this Quran rahmah. And He also calls the Nabi rahmah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to utter the words sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherever we hear the name of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
We are the only ones who decide what sustenance they are going to get in this world. Nobody has a say in it. We give whatever we want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ.
We have raised some above others, levels, for various reasons. And some of these reasons are also made mention of in the verses that we read this evening. And I'd like to actually end by making mention of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Jathiyah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a person who takes his own desires as a god besides Allah, which means a person worshipping his own brain. That's exactly what it means. When a person begins to worship his own brain, Allah says, that person will be completely astray. We need to realize Allah sends divine revelation in order to guide the brain, in order to help it to think correctly. This is why Allah says,
أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ.
Have you seen the one who has taken as a god, as his own god, his brain? He worships his own brain, his own mind.
وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ.
And Allah has led him astray with what seems to be knowledge. So he might have snippets of knowledge, but he is astray because he is worshipping his own mind. And this is why sometimes you have people who will try and logically explain to you that Allah doesn't exist. That cannot be logic. It cannot be logic. And they will tell you, look, it's all a coincidence. This is what it is. And the person may be highly educated seemingly. And they are bringing words and they will debate and argue till they turn green. and they will never accept anything besides that. Allah says, فَمَن يَهْدِيهِ مِن بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Who is there to guide such people besides Allah? After Allah, there's nobody. Nobody can guide such people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us surrender to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, the solution to my problems and yours is to turn to Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow this deen as best as we can. And inshallah, we will find our problems solving themselves one after the other until we meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.